Does God care about the little things? Imagine that perhaps you... Don't worry, we're not doing anything too weird with this tonight. Some people had weird looks when I rolled this out earlier. Imagine for just a moment that you borrowed a hammer from somebody. And let's just say that something happened and you lost it. Does God care if you lost a hammer? See, I think sometimes we think God only cares about the stuff that's big. God only cares about when somebody's sick or when somebody's drifting away. God only cares about if something is dangerous, if there's some kind of serious problem. But tonight's Bible story teaches me that God cares about the little things too. God cares about mistakes. God cares if we lose something. God cares if we break something. God cares if we make a mistake or if we become worried about an everyday problem. Let me tell you about the story of Elisha. I feel like I'm getting lower. Can y'all still hear me? Everybody hears me in the back? We're good. Okay, that's great. Let me tell you about a story in second. In that case, I'm not going to yell quite as loud. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha was God's prophet. And the Bible says that there were some individuals who were working with him, the sons of the prophets. And evidently, the place where they are is getting too small for them. Now, best we can tell, these sons of the prophets were people who were studying to learn more about God's Word and how to serve God better. And this place where they are seems by people who are really smart to mean like a meeting place. Maybe the very place where they are going to learn a little bit about how to be better at teaching God's Word. And so they come to Elisha and they say, it's too small. And they want to know if they have the blessing of their teacher, the prophet Elisha, to build a larger place that is near the Jordan River. Elisha says, yeah, that's fine. Go on ahead. And so they go down there. And there's a fella who has an axe. And as he's chopping down a tree, the end comes off of his axe head. Now, this is an axe, right? And this little piece, the little piece on the top here, I guess could easily fly off if you're swinging that thing pretty hard. Maybe it's getting a little loose. And so the end of the axe head flew off into the Jordan River and sank there. And the guy is thinking, oh no, you know, what should I do? And he says to Elisha, Master, this is in verse 5, alas, my master, it was borrowed. It's not mine. The man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. Now, I don't have an axe with me. I've got this dinky little hammer that I keep in my office sometimes. It's not the manliest hammer that's ever existed. Okay. But it works for things that you need in a preacher's office, all right? You think it would sink or float if this fell into the Jordan River? I think it's going to sink, don't you? It's kind of heavy. I happen to have a body of water here. We're going to pretend like this is the Jordan River. By the way, I was going to do this in the baptistry if we were in the auditorium. That would have been a lot more fun. But anyway, let's figure this out. There it goes, right to the bottom. And there it sits. And I imagine that's kind of the way it was when this fellow's axe head flew off while he's cutting down a tree into the Jordan River. Elisha says, whereabouts did that go? And he shows him. And so Elisha takes a stick and throws it in about the same spot. And do you know what happened? That thing floated to the top. I have here a very special facsimile of an axe head. Okay. I use big words so the kids don't know. Check this out. This must have been what it was like, right? If I didn't tell you this was a facsimile, what would you say? Sink or float? Check it out. It floats. And when the stick went into the water, well, it wasn't anything about the stick, right, that suddenly made the composition of the thing different. But there it went. It floated up to the top. And Elisha said, go and retrieve it. And the man goes and picks it up out of the water. And now, crisis is averted, right? Everything's okay. The man who had lost the borrowed axe head, well, now it's all just fine. He reached out his hand and he took it. You know, this was a big deal. By the way, I found this really cool towel in the kitchen earlier. It says, honey, I'm home. I thought I'd bring that for tonight's demonstration. Okay, that didn't have anything to do with the sermon. I just liked it. Iron was expensive back then, and it was very difficult to replace. This fella knew that the old law in Exodus 22 said that if you've borrowed something and you lose it, you've got to restore it. You either got to go and find it or you got to go and buy him another one. And so this prophet, the son of the prophets, understood. He was probably poor. The axe was borrowed. He was facing a problem he could not solve on his own. And Elisha helps him out. But really, it wasn't Elisha, was it? Elisha can't make an axe head float any more than I could throw a stick into this water and make that hammer come back up to the top, right? That's not the way it works. I wonder what we can learn from a lesson from 2 Kings chapter 6 where God allows one of His men to do a miracle by God's power that lets a borrowed axe head be restored. Well, I've got several things, and if you're following along with the sheet, maybe these are some things that we can think about. Number one, I think we learn that God cares about our everyday problems. God cares about our everyday problems. Why is this even in the Bible? As one was felling or chopping down a log, his axe head fell into the water and he cried out, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." He didn't pretend nothing happened. Don't you think that would have been the temptation? You hear this plop, something goes into the river. What was that? Oh, nothing, right? Why are you carrying a stick that used to be an axe? Oh, no problem. Nothing to see here. He didn't run away or hide. He told the truth about his trouble. And what's amazing is this wasn't some kind of national emergency. This isn't an army that's attacking. This isn't a king who's in danger. This is one ordinary man who lost a tool that he had borrowed, and God cared. In fact, throughout the prophet Elisha's ministry, God helped people with a lot of personal needs. There was a widow who was in debt. There was a mother who was grieving. There was a commander named Naaman who was healed. And now there's a poor man who lost an axe head. God's power was great enough to help nations, but His love was personal enough to notice one man who was by the river worried over a borrowed axe head. I want you kiddos to know tonight that you can talk to God about anything. You can talk to God about anything. Are you anxious about the upcoming school year? I know, sorry to bring it up, but it'll be here soon. Are you anxious about that? You can talk to God about that. Did you have a disagreement with a friend? Did you lose something or break something? Did you make a mistake that you're afraid to admit? Is there something you're kind of worried about, but it might seem something small to everybody else? I want you to know that you can talk to God about that. If it matters to you, you can bring it to God. And for us not-so-kiddos in the room, I think it's important for us to call out something that we frequently do, which is we sort of say that here's the spiritual things in life, and then over here are the ordinary things. And we think that we can't really mix the two, that you can't turn ordinary things into spiritual things. And I guess what I'm trying to say tonight is this story reminds us that God cares about work and about money and about borrowed property and about personal responsibilities. God cares about the quiet worries that we may carry. If it matters to me, God cares about that. The overarching lesson that I'm taking away from this story tonight, and we're going to emphasize this repeatedly, is nothing that matters to me is too small for God's care. Nothing that matters to me is too small for God's care. And in fact, I'd like to invite you to repeat that with me, all right? Let's try that. Nothing that matters to me is too small for God's care. God cares about our everyday problems. But number two, God wants us to tell the truth about our troubles. God wants us to tell the truth about our troubles. That axe head went flying off from the handle down into the Jordan River. Alas, my master, it was borrowed. And the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" I wonder what his tone was like when he said it. Where did it fall? You think that's what he was like? If I'm the dad, all right, now Elisha's not the dad, but if I'm the dad and my kid's doing something and plop, there it goes into the river, what did you do? You know, this has got to be your fault. Where did it fall? No. Hey, where did it fall? Show me where it fell. And the guy responds, honestly, it fell right over there. It can be difficult to avoid the temptation not to hide our troubles. I mean, if I keep it sort of close, if I keep it within, then maybe that makes it be not as big of a deal. Or maybe the fewer people who know about it, the easier it'll be for me to keep it contained. Maybe I can deal with it a little easier. At the very least, it'll save me some embarrassment. Or maybe I don't have to deal with the consequences if I kind of keep it hidden. I make excuses. I blame other people. I hope nobody notices. But hiding a problem usually makes the problem even heavier. And nothing that that son of the prophet could do would make that axe head not be at the bottom of the Jordan River on that day. Help begins when we bring the truth into the light. So, kiddos, here's one thing I want you to know. When you make a mistake, tell the truth. Ask God for help. Tell a trusted adult and do what you can to make it right. Just do the right thing. You might need to say, "I broke it." You might need to say, "I lost it." You might need to say, "I was wrong." You might need to say, "I need help." You might even need to say, "Will you please forgive me?" The man understood his responsibility here in 2 Kings chapter 6. Trusting God doesn't mean we avoid responsibility. It means bringing God into a situation that we cannot repair all by ourselves. And that's what this guy was doing. Now to the not-so-kiddos in the room. Don't our children learn about honesty in part by watching how we respond when they confess? So if I overreact to them coming and saying, "I did it, I lost it, I broke it, I was wrong, I need help." If I react in the wrong way, might I not later on tempt them not to be so honest about something that they've done? See, that's kind of why I don't think Elisha had sort of a huffy or put out kind of tone about him when he said, "Where is it?" I think he was probably kind. I think that this son of the prophet knew that Elisha would be willing to help. More than that, how do you think Jesus would have reacted if it was Jesus in that situation? "Where is it? Just show me. I'll be glad to help you. Whatever you need, I can help you out." We should take wrongdoing seriously, but we should make our homes, and for that matter, our congregation, ought to be a safe place where people can tell the truth, where people can receive grace, where people can begin to make things right. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Sometimes, I know tonight we don't really have a Well, we do have a front row, but we don't have a front pew, you know. And I know sometimes people are hesitant to come forward, as we say, to respond to the invitation, because they might think, I don't know if that's a big enough deal to take before the church. And somewhere along the way, we got this not biblical notion of, we only go forward if it's a public thing. By the way, I've never read that book, chapter, and verse, but that's what we've been taught, right? It's wrong, but that's what we've been taught. So the reality is, if I feel like I need the support of my church family, I can go and ask for it. And we recognize we're not limited to Sundays and Wednesdays for doing that, right? That's part of why we like our tapestry groups, our Bible classes, our heart-to-heart teams, and more, because that connects us with each other. And we have a network of brothers and sisters to whom we can say, hey, I need help. But when someone does come before us, like this morning, when someone does come before us, like many times throughout our times together, how do we respond? Do we welcome? Are we gracious? Is this a place where healing can begin? I kind of believe that it is. In fact, I'm pretty sure that it is. Nothing that matters to me is too small to bring to God. And for that matter, I think we could also say to God's people. So, repeat it with me. Nothing that matters to me is too small for God's care. In the third place, in 2 Kings chapter 6, God can do what we cannot do. God can do what we cannot do. An iron axe head just does not float. Now, I'm going to tell you kiddos what I was telling to the adults a minute ago when I used a big word, facsimile. That means it's fake. This isn't a real axe head, right? You understood that. It's actually a plastic axe head that Miss Kim let me borrow, and I covered it in aluminum foil, okay? Because I wanted you to think that it was real. If it were real, it would be very small. But anyway, you're not chopping down very much with this. But that's why it floats. But a real axe head would not float, much like my very real, albeit very small hammer, very much sinks. Well, that was the situation that this fellow was in when his axe head, or his borrowed axe head, was in the bottom of the Jordan River. And once it sank into the Jordan, the man could not recover it on his own. Now, God's will was that that be restored. In Exodus 22, the old law said, yeah, if you lose something that you borrowed, you're supposed to restore that. The point is not that God will always replace everything that we lose. That'd be convenient, but that's not God's business. The point is that no situation is beyond God's power. When His people had no solution, God was still able to act. Elisha was a prophet during a very tough time in Israel's history. The miracles that Elisha did showed that God had not abandoned His people. God was still with them. He could give them a new beginning. He could sustain them through difficulty and hardship. So, kiddos, when you're in a situation that you cannot fix, I want you to remember that God is never confused. God is never powerless. God is never too busy to care. God does care. God cares about the things that you care about. God may help you through another person. Maybe your parents, maybe your friends, maybe your friend's parents, maybe your Bible class teacher, maybe Mr. Jared and others who are up here with pew packers on Sunday nights. God will help you through another person. He may help you by giving you wisdom from His Word, giving you courage, forgiveness, strength to face the consequences. Prayer doesn't mean that we ask God for something and He absolutely always gives us whatever we want. But prayer is how we place our problem and ourselves into God's hands. God, You know what's best. Please help me through this. Adults, we may calculate a situation and say, nope, it's impossible. Nope, there's no way forward. Not with the resources that we can see. But faith remembers that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. According to the power that is at work within us, we ask boldly, we trust humbly, we remain open to whatever form his wise help may take, and we're willing to walk through the doors that he opens. So, let's be reminded once again. Would you say it with me? Nothing that matters to me is too small for God's care. I think we're sensing a pattern here. Have you noticed, by the way, that our songs tonight, Adam selected all about God's provision and care? He said there wasn't a place in the topical index of the song book about floating axe heads, so he went with this instead. I think he was on the right track. Number four, God gives us a job. God gives us a job. That is to say, there's a part that we have to play. Yes, God could restore the axe head. He made it float. But the servant, the son of the prophet, still had to go in and retrieve it. The man still had to reach out and take it. God did his part, and the man did his part. And God often works like this. We ask for wisdom, and then we study God's word. We ask for help, and then we're willing to accept it. We ask God to repair a friendship, and then we go and talk to that person. We ask for forgiveness, and then we try and make things right in as much as we can. There are things that only God can do. And then there are things that God says, I want you to do, to reach up and to accept the things that I'm giving you, the wisdom I'm trying to share with you. See, faith is not just sitting still. Faith doesn't mean that I expect God to do everything for me. Faith listens when God says, now reach out and take it. When we face problems, maybe there are two questions that we can ask. Number one, what do I need God to do? Number two, what does God ask me to do? There are things only God can do. And then there are things that God wants me to do. And as I give these things over to God, I need to ask, what does God want me to do as a part of his plan? After all, one more time, nothing that matters to me is too small for God's care. The floating axe head shows God rescuing one man from a burden that he could not remove all by himself. God rescued a man from a burden he could not remove all by himself. Isn't that the message of the gospel? It's beyond a floating axe head. It doesn't have anything to do with a floating axe head. But God rescuing us from a burden that we could not remove? Well, that's what Jesus did. This is a pattern that prepares us for the greater rescue that God gives us through Jesus. And our greatest problem is not something that we've lost in a river. It's sin. A problem we cannot solve by ourselves. But God did not ignore us. God didn't leave us trapped beneath its weight. He sent Jesus to save us. Our story this evening reveals that God is the same compassionate God that we meet fully as we come to Jesus. A God who sees individuals. A God who cares about their burdens. A God who acts to rescue those who cannot rescue themselves. If God cares about something like a little axe head, don't you think that God cares about the things that are really weighing you down? About the sins, about the difficulties, about the troubles that you face? Don't you think that God cares about your soul? The God who made you is the God who longs to save you. Maybe you're carrying a problem that feels heavy. Something you lost. Something you broke. A mistake you made. A sin you committed. A fear you have hidden. A responsibility that you cannot manage all by yourself. And God's invitation is simple. Show him where it fell. Point to the areas in your life that have fallen apart, that aren't what they're supposed to be. Tell Him the truth. Obey what He says. And trust His power and His care. Do the next thing that He asks you to do. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of those sins. Confess that Jesus is God's Son. And be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, time out just a minute. Here we are in this room. And the only water I've got is in this tiny little bucket. This isn't sufficient water for baptism. But I'm going to tell you what, it's a little warm for having 300 people inside the auditorium. But it's not too warm for us to go and rejoice with you as you're baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're here tonight and you need to be baptized, in just a minute we're going to sing a song. And you can come right up here because we always leave the front row open. And so we've got some spots. And you can come up here and you can tell us, I'm ready to be baptized. And you know what we'll do? We'll all make our way back into that auditorium and rejoice as angels in heaven rejoice as you put on Christ and as He forgives you of your sins. Maybe you're still carrying that burden. And God has, if you will, allow this sort of imagery, already said, hey, reach out and take it. I've lifted that burden. I've restored the things that were broken. Maybe you need to reach back out. Maybe you need to be restored. The God who rules nations also notices one person beside a river whose axe head came off of the handle. Nothing that matters to you is too small for God's care, and nothing beyond your strength is beyond His power. And so tonight, if you need prayers, hey, we can pray for you in this room just like we can in the next room. This is an opportunity for you to come and receive spiritual strength, support, forgiveness, restoration. If you're here tonight and you need to respond to heaven's invitation, come right up here while we stand and sing together.